Do not move for an hour and you'll be fine.
I'm really trying not to. I'm just stationary. So, what is this about? You can send people packs now?
Yeah, you can gift packs.
That's
How exciting is
weird.
that? So
That's
now's
so
like
cool.
the new hotness is going to be, charge an entry fee for your tournament and take the prize money and
Gift
buy
packs to
packs.
winners, yep.
Can
We're live,
you're just
right?
like buy packs.
Yes, sir, we are live. That's why we got quiet.
All right.
We have another new member that I'm just
Oh, that's right. I need to pull up chat.
welcoming.
That Brian?
That's Slimeinks, Fort
Oh.
Irwin, California.
Should be getting a Brian from Sanford, Florida here shortly.
Oh, we're getting so many people lately. It's at the day that a guy from Guam joined, I like
Oh, that's cool.
lost it, and the day that the guy from Iran joined, I was like, "Dad," because I live with my dad. I was like, "Someone from Iran joined the Discord server, and he runs Firesides." I was like, "That is like the coolest thing." I don't know,
Yeah.
like when people join from these places that, we've just never even heard of anyone running Firesides there. It's so cool to feel like we're actually truly connecting globally, which was the whole kind of concept idea of this. So it's very cool. It makes me feel gooey on the inside.
Yep.
Okay, let's get the word out. Let me do some push notifications for that one. Oh, can you link our doc in Discord for me? Pretty please, if someone has it open.
Yeah.
So, well, so basically, when I reset the password, it sends a verification code to my wife's phone. She sends that to me. I type it in and it says, your account is locked for 24 hours. And it's been doing that for a week.
Well, sad. We're just trying to get the podcast out to people
Yeah.
for download.
Maybe he's trying to get it to Apple support.
Well, no, every time I go in, like, I wait 24 hours
Welcome
and
to
go
the
back
Apple
in, it says,
Support
"Hey, man."
Podcast.
Well, that's the funny thing.
That's
This is
cool.
about support and finding it for like tech issues, so.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to find an example of how not a good supporter to that. Actually, I don't know anything about the American Apple support, so.
I don't know. I don't have a my wife who owns the iPhone. I'm just trying basically to submit a podcast through iTunes. Just wanted the Apple login. I feel like logging in, and that's what's getting all messed up.
We're just trying to play some games and make some friends.
Pass you back to her.
Oh, O'Leary isn't my last name, it's just my gamer tag.
Hey,
To
that was
Justin in
Apple.
chat. Well, we were just saying it's funny that this episode is about tech support. And
Yeah.
you're on the phone, Apple. You're trying to get our podcast out so people can listen to
Yeah, I'm like,
it.
it's been a week of me logging in going, oh, your account will be locked for 24 hours. Come back tomorrow. Okay. It's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready
Am I?
to get the show on the road?
Give me 2 seconds.
Two shakes.
What? I don't understand this.
So, webcam and non-mechanical keyboard.
Yeah.
What?
Adding
I'm
things to the O'Leary
sorry. We just
list.
gotta. I'm so sorry.
What's wrong with a mechanical keyboard?
It's so
None
loud, and
if you
you'll
have
be
a
talking, and
microphone.
I'll be trying to respond to people, and I try and type really slowly and quietly, but yeah, and you can
So,
probably definitely
yeah.
still hear it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, yours is mechanical, but you've got a nice headset that's got some noise cancellation and some game control to it, as opposed to the iPhone, which is going to pick up everything.
I have a nice headset, but my laptop doesn't want me to use it for things. So I have a very squishy Halo one somewhere. It's like packed up because I never get to use it. It's pretty sad.
Oh,
Let me know when you're
global.
ready, Larry.
Okay. I'm sorry. Just let me open our little doc here so I I'm not late. How's chat doing today? Yeah. That's what I like to hear. you can go ahead.
All right. Getting this party started in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Innkeepers Podcast. We're glad you found your way here.
And welcome to episode number 7 of the Innkeepers Podcast. We are a podcast for innkeepers covering Hearthstone's fireside gatherings. With insight and information, we hope all of our fellow innkeepers find useful. Our topic for this episode comes from just about everywhere. The forums, Facebook, Twitter, Discord. That is, of course, we are talking about event troubleshooting. I am Patrick from Knoxville, Tennessee.
All I hear is music, but this is Annie from Orlando, Florida.
And this is O'Leary from Halifax in Nova Scotia, Canada. Now today, we have a very special guest all the way from Germany, the Schwinghammer himself.
The Schwinghammer.
Jasper.
Hi.
All right. So music might have been a tad too loud.
Just a tad. I'm like looking over going, is he still talking? I'm looking for lips moving. I'm like, I can't tell. So coming up here in episode number 7 of the Innkeepers Podcast, we'll be talking about technical support stuff. Like how about a pre-event checklist, on-site troubleshooting, and issue resolution resources.
And don't forget, for all of your Hearthstone Innkeeper needs, the official Blizzard site will have everything you need in order to get your Fireside Gathering up and going at firesidegatherings.com. Make sure you check out hsinnkeepers.com. Those are innkeeper resources made by innkeepers and the awesome legendary Bites. He puts those up there, handles all of that. Feel free to reach out to him too if you want to see specific things up there. If you see them in the Discord and you would like to see those materials on the website, reach out to him directly. And today's topics were inspired by the community itself. Honestly, a lot of our recent topics, they're coming from the NEMSI announcement. Last week, we talked about NEMSI and all about those kinds of things. And so this week, we thought it'd be good to, you know, just talk about the tech issues that come up, you know, with Wi-Fi and other things like that. So, yeah.
All right. Well, awesome. Before we get into all of that, though, we have a very special guest all the way from Germany. So for those who might have missed your last appearance on our show, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, okay. My name is Yoder, or Schwinghammer, I think, is the other thing that I'm called. Thanks to the sir above me. Yeah, my tavern is named Barcroft HL, since we all have taverns. HL stands for Hansestadt Lübeck, so I'm from North Germany. That's the city where I am. I've been an innkeeper for basically since Hearthstone has been released, so let's say something 13 or 14, something in 2014. And yeah, that's basically the most interesting stuff about me, I think.
All right, awesome. So we are really glad to have you back on the show. So, all right, let's jump right into our first topic, which is the pre-event checklist. So basically, looking for ways that you can save yourself a ton of headaches, we always recommend setting yourself up a pre-event checklist and then going over it on location in enough time to fix any possible issues that you know that might arise. So, what might be on your pre-event checklist, Yoder?
Well, pre-event. We are now talking only about. I have a long list actually, but we're talking only about technology right now. So first, thing is the internet connection itself. Check, especially when it's a new venue, check the internet connection, check everything that's already there. So first of all, check what router are they using. Is it something that will not be capable of doing DHCP addresses for like 30 devices or something? Basically everything that at least the German providers give you is so crappy that it will just shut down. Not even if the people do a lot of connections and a lot of bandwidth, but it will just break down by the pure number of clients. So at first I checked the infrastructure that's there. Many times, at least for my events, all the times I got the access actually to everything. So they just told me, okay, there's the router, there's that. I don't know if it's a bit more restrictive with the venue, that's of course a big problem. And then I insert, the second thing for me then is just look at what I need to put into the system so that it fits my needs, so that I feel safe that the Wi-Fi will not break down all the time. That's the first thing that's on my checklist normally, because Wi-Fi, even though we have now the feature that GPS is usable to join a tavern, which is a huge improvement on the whole thing, Wi-Fi is still the most needed thing for a tavern, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's where I start.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, for sure. And I will add to that real quick. So Google has a new feature of its own. I used to go to website to speed test, but if you just go to Google and type speed test, it's actually one of the like in window Google things that Google offers now. So that's a really, really easy, quick way to just type speed test and hit run test, and then you can get the up and down speeds for the venue and the Wi-Fi that you're using.
You can also just go to fast.com, which is powered by Netflix, which is really cool because provider independent, so it doesn't care which provider it is. It's going to tell you the honest truth on how fast your connection is. So,
cool. I didn't know about that one.
Fast.com. It's pretty fun.
Okay. So we talked about, you know, testing your speed and your Wi-Fi signal strength. A term that gets thrown around a lot that some people might not understand would be whitelisting of an IP address. So, Root, can you tell us what whitelisting means?
Absolutely. So, basically your connection, when you are connecting from a venue, you have one major connection that comes out of there that goes out to the internet. And that is the real-world IP that is going to be on the outside of the router. In other words, everybody inside is going to have their own IP addresses to communicate with each other on the network. Once you leave that router and go out to the internet, you're usually connecting with one major IP address. Problem with that, and that's how the internet works, basically, but problem with that is when Blizzard sees a lot of connections from one spot, they can get a little paranoid and think they might be under attack, and they could actually just null route that traffic, and you're not going to be talking to Blizzard servers at all. So this is like a little advance notice to Blizzard that says, hey, we're going to be coming from this IP address to your location, and you should see a lot of traffic from this IP address. Easiest way to figure out what that is go to the location, sign onto their to their Wi-Fi or their network, go to Google and type in, what is my IP address? It will tell you the IP address. Send that over to Blizzard. Scott over at HSN Keepers has the whitelist form that you can fill out. And that just lets Blizzard know ahead of time that, hey, when you see a bunch of traffic from this IP address, don't worry. You're not under attack. It's all legit traffic. They're getting less and less used to this, or they're using it less and less, I should say. But it is still, for the first time venue, a very good thing to do.
Absolutely. Other things that we would recommend for your venue pre-checklist would be making sure there's plenty of power outlets and that you have plenty of extension cords on hand, as well as power strips. You can never have too many power strips. And, you know, something that your players might appreciate, I don't know, maybe not, but air conditioning. Heating and cooling,
yeah.
You know, that's something that you might want to look for in a venue. So, you know, add that to your pre-event checklist and make sure you're checking for all those things before you run an event. So basically, just don't get lazy, and just because your venue was great last time doesn't always mean it's going to be great this time. Things can change. So do your pre-event checklist. By having an event checklist and going over it at the venue prior to your event, you can really save yourself a lot of headaches come event day.
Yeah, so. For sure. All right. For sure. And we do have a new bot in the channel now. Exclamation point, IP whitelisting, and that has the direct link as provided from the Discord server for the ticket submission for an event to submit your IP address for whitelisting directly with Blizzard.
Very cool.
Okay, cool. Leary, you want to tell us a little bit about our social media information?
Absolutely. So for social media, the best place to find us is definitely going to be Discord. That's where everyone's hanging out. That's where, if you join the server and you update your server nickname to include your location, don't worry, you can do that so it's not Discord-wide, it's just for the server. You do that, post a quick little intro about yourself, just telling us, you know, are you doing this for a hobby? Are you doing this for a business? Is this your first time? Have you been doing this, like Jasper? And like, I think most of us on the podcast have been doing this since near enough the beginning. No matter what, you know, we're welcoming and we want you to join the community and be involved as much as you want to be. So if you do that, then you will get verified and it opens up a whole host of resource channels for you. So like this IP whitelisting link that was pinned in the channel for venue planning, because that's like what we're saying here, it's part of your venue prep. Before you even start your event, you're going to go in, check over some things with the venue, with the owners, and that's one of those things. And that's just one example of the great cumulative efforts of everyone in the Discord to share knowledge and share what we're doing to just help each other out. We don't have a Twitter yet. If you want us to get a Twitter, let us know. But we don't have a Twitter yet. Directly for us, I think that's pretty much it. It's pretty much... Oh, we have YouTube.
Yes.
We do have YouTube. All of our VODs are on YouTube. The podcast is coming, as discussed at the beginning of this show. we're having some tech issues trying to get that set up. But that will be available soon. So, you know, on your drive or your ride to work in the morning or back home, you can listen to the voices of the innkeepers as we...
And Illyria's typing. Thing.
I'm sorry. I'm going to figure something out.
All right. So that brings us to our next topic for the evening, which is on-site troubleshooting. Root, you want to take the lead on this one?
Sure, absolutely. Any event you do, just prepare for it, because you are going to have an issue. You're never going to have an event that doesn't have one. Something is going to crop up. And when it does, people are going to look to you to get the problem fixed. Now, you might have someone that works with you at your events that is more technical than you are that you can offload this to, but they're still going to look to the innkeeper to get the issues fixed. So what we're going to do here is kind of look over some of the common issues that we all see as innkeepers, and kind of we have to do a little bit of have a little bit of empathy here, put ourselves in these other people's shoes. These are things that we see as innkeepers on a regular basis. This might be the first time that a patron has seen this type of issue. So that they may not be able to get Hearthstone to load at all. They might not see people near them. They might not even be able to see anybody in the tavern. Or in this case, this past weekend, they'll see 500 people in the tavern. Who knows? It might be slow to load. The app could crash all the time. So, Jasper, what are some things that you do on the first level of any kind of troubleshooting that you do with your patrons?
Well, first of all, I normally check, are they connected to the Wi-Fi? Because that's, for me at least, maybe all the time, the most common issue that people come, oh, it doesn't work, or they directly come to me, your Wi-Fi doesn't work. And most of the time, they just did something wrong. So that's the first thing that I check. Afterwards, of course, have you tried turning it off and on again? That is for Hearthstone, for the Battle.net client, and in some cases also for the computer or the smartphone or whatever. So most problems get solved by checking is everything in the right place and just restarting level by level everything. That's my first support line. That's how I think 99.9% of all problems are resolved.
Yeah, we kind of start off when people walk in and ask about, you know, how do I get involved? How do I do this? How do I get NIMSY was a big question. And it's very simple. It's like, make sure your Wi-Fi is on, make sure location services are on, make sure that Hearthstone can actually use both the Wi-Fi and location services. This is something we saw this weekend a couple times that I had not seen prior. And that is that in two occasions, I had two people, I did an event on Saturday and an event on Sunday. One on Saturday, one on Sunday, it happened. Where one of the patrons had actually turned off location services on the app level on Hearthstone. So at one point in time when they did the install, something popped up on the screen and said, hey, Hearthstone's is requesting the following permissions. And they see location, and they're a little paranoid, and they go, well, I don't want Hearthstone to know where I am all the time. Blizzard doesn't need to know that. So they turn it off. Now they go to a fireside gathering, and guess what? It's not going to work anymore. So they have to turn it on. Now, here's the difference. With the client, the way it works these days, if location services isn't turned on the phone, when you go through the join the fireside settings, or join the fireside wizard, if you will, it goes through those steps. Hey, turn Wi-Fi on, turn your location services on, and it kind of walks the person through that, and it's kind of cool. However, what I've seen is if you have actually refused those permissions to the app on the app level permission screens on either Android or iPhone, it will not walk you through that step. It'll just give a very, very fast circle and an X. Like 1 second, the circle just goes around and it turns into red X. Very, very fast. On the first one, we worked with the guy for a little bit until we figured out what it was. The second one, it had the same symptoms. We knew exactly what it was. People had just installed it and not giving it location, or not giving the app location permissions. So that's pretty much the biggest things you see. As Jasper said, you know, it's an old cliche, but did you reboot it? Have you turned it off and on again? That solves a lot of whatever issues that those phones are having. And Jasper, I'm going to kind of reach back a little bit. In our Discord chat today, we talked a little bit about a patron issue that you had in your fireside with someone who was updating the Hearthstone client. And why don't you kind of talk on that a little bit?
All right. Yeah, so that was a nice, not too young lady, actually, but she had, I was thinking young lady. No, she was in mid-20s or something, so as old as I am. So calling her young would be strange, I think. So she did not have her client updated. And we have a 16-mbit connection in our venues, and that was at that point used by over 50 people, so it was pretty clear that she could not update in the venue. And she came to the bar and asked us, okay, what should I do? And we said, maybe use your mobile data. Or another guy came who lived nearby and said, here, I live nearby, and I'm going home to update. And we just, okay, can she join you? But she really felt like she was putting us in a lot of trouble, and she felt at that point that maybe we are also angry that she did basically something very wrong. That was pretty hard to make her feel comfortable again. It was,
yeah, we talked about that. In fact, she actually shed some tears, you were telling me, in at that location. And we've dealt with that. Yes, sir.
What? Oh, I said nearly.
Oh, okay. I thought you called my name. Oh, nearly. Okay. So, anyhow, I thought you called my name. Got me all excited. We had to be very – I ran into this, and this is a little bit of an issue that I had where we see things a lot. And one of the things we see a lot as innkeepers is somebody has an updated Hearthstone before they show up to the venue. And the first thing they do, they're all excited, and now they got to wait for it to update. And as Jasper said – if you're in a limited internet connection, it might be faster if they use their mobile data. It might be faster if they go to someone else's house or another location. Sadly, what happened to me is I saw a guy who was going through the same thing, and I'm like, yep, hard to beat that update, boss, and I walked off. I just kind of shrugged it off, and I thought about it. I said, you know what? It's really not that guy's fault, and I might have made him feel a little uncomfortable by saying that. So I went back and I apologized to him. He was cool with it. He was fine with it. But it's just one of those things you don't think about sometimes. Like, hey, I'll go to the meetup on Saturday, and I'm going to bring my tablet and play. And you normally play your desktop or your phone, and you show up, and the first thing you need to do is update. So That's huge. Another thing, and this is going to reflect on the venue, even though it appears that we're moving away from the need to be 100% Wi-Fi, where people can now play the game on their 3G connection, on their data, on their mobile phone data, as long as location services are on, that gets them into the fireside. Even so, you still need the Wi-Fi to, in my opinion, play a better game, a faster game. If the location doesn't have a decent router, or a decent Wi-Fi access point, I should say, you can bring your own. Ubiquiti makes fantastic models. I know Jasper said we had an issue with this with the lighting earlier, but this is a Ubiquiti model here. One of them, here's another one of them. I love these things. Ubiquities are phenomenal. These are this is the Unify platform on Ubiquiti. This is a long range access point. This is one of the smaller models. You can put these in a bridge mode, pass-through mode. In other words, they're not going to interfere with that person's physical network whatsoever. It's just going to bring clients onto it and give them Wi-Fi access to their network. It works phenomenally better than whatever they've got set up. So if you can actually hardwire into their switch or their router and put these Ubiquities into a bridge mode or a pass-through mode, you're fine. And these now have phone apps to control them, so they're phenomenally easy to use. Wow. You can get them on Amazon, and they're awesome. Now, the other cool thing about them is, with the way that firesides are now working, you can actually set up a Ubiquiti or any other access point. You can set one and plug it in, not have internet access on it. This is really cool, right? All you have is this thing broadcasting its name. So you name it whatever your fireside's name is. Doesn't matter what you name it. It's just broadcasting that ID. When the person's Hearthstone client sees that, the SID or the network ID, and it passes that on to Blizzard and says, I'm at this location and these are the Wi-Fi access points I see, that is enough for Blizzard to authenticate the person in that location. So they do not actually need to access the access point. They don't have to log into it or anything else. They just need to see it on that location. So we bring these with us to all of our events. I'm doing an event at Commodore for the Storm. We're going to have these with us just to make sure people can actually authenticate at that location and be on and get to play together.
This can be kind of fun. Can you give us an idea of what those average price point on those?
Starting around really, $90, I think.
Yeah, it's going to break your bank at $90. Yeah, okay. They're not expensive whatsoever. And these things are phenomenal for your home use as well. I mean, I cannot recommend them enough. The long range, what this is overkill for your typical house. You might make your neighbors mad with these because they'll be seeing your access point all over the place. But the smaller ones, this guy right here, perfect for a house. I've got two of them, so love these guys.
How big is Ubiquiti? Your house?
I don't
That's
know.
That's really cool.
I use one of them for really big venues from the small ones.
Yeah. I use two just to do load balancing because they do it naturally on themselves as well. So...
That's really awesome.
Not to be a huge Ubiquiti commercial, but that came up a lot in the Innkeeper Summit, and you can't speak highly enough about these guys. So,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
So what about you, Avantis? What kind of troubleshooting issues do you guys deal with on a regular basis?
Ours is mostly things we've talked about, people not being able to see the tavern, making sure we have enough. We have a pretty small venue. We can seat 40 to 50 people. And so on that, we only have about 10 power outlets in the venue. So it's making sure we have enough power run to tables for people to sit at, and making sure that we actually have an issue where our venue's AC system works so well that we have to regulate it and make sure people aren't freezing in the middle of summer. So, you know, that's, we'll sometimes have to crack open a door just to let some of the AC out. But, you know, it really, as we've talked about, varies venue to venue. So, I mean, you know, some people may not be able to get enough AC, but, you know, that's really it. I've not really had any major issues except for the one time where we had no internet and had to change venues mid-tournament, which was HCT Playoffs So that was fun. Have to pack everything up and move 10 miles to another venue. So the most important thing is that you just have to kind of roll with the punches. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to see, and you just have to be adaptable enough to make a change on the fly that's in the best interest of your patrons.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, for sure. So this past weekend, I hosted a Howler's End tournament. It was actually the Moose Cup. It was the Moose Cup finals. So we had 4 locations across Canada where our qualified players were playing in the cup. And Vancouver got first and second. So it's going to be a serious grudge matches next time. And it was funny because we hadn't really thought about this, but it was the first weekend day after NEMZ was available. And we all have taverns, so our events were offering that. We got slammed. I think Toronto consistently had 70 people for, 5 hours, which is insane. I know in Halifax we had 80-plus rotate through, which we've been having events here since May 2014, and that is the highest that's the most people we've ever seen at an event, and we have bigger events here. So that is an incredible thing to see, but at the same time, it's like, whoa, it's a lot of people, especially when it was 60, consistently at one time kind of deal. So the piece of advice I would give to people, especially because you're likely to have a busy event right now, honestly, you're going to have higher attendance than you might usually expect for this time of year. So if someone's having issues, and I'll use the example of something that happened at my event on Saturday. So this woman was at the event with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend could connect on his phone, and she was on a laptop, and she couldn't find the tavern. And I've run into this issue before. And honestly, it's do all of your updates, because some people don't even think that because they haven't updated their laptop that will affect it, because Hearthstone is updated itself. But that can cause issues. So she needed my attention and my time, but I also have a tavern packed full of people. So it is important to find a balance though. You know, you can at one point only kind of troubleshoot so long with them and say, and give them all the advice you can on what you know. So I told you, have you closed the app fully and opened it? I said, you got to try that a few times, honestly. And then I said, have you shut down your laptop completely? And at this point, she had been trying for 10 minutes or so. And I could see she was getting a bit upset. I said, look, this has happened. You're not the first, I've seen this before and it has been fixed. I was like, can you try turning off your laptop completely, rebooting it? And then if you're still having issues, we'll troubleshoot a bit more kind of deal. Even though after that, I wouldn't have really known what to do, but I don't ever want to say, try this one last thing. And if not, then tough luck, because I don't feel that's a good way to approach it. I try to, because I need to leave and take care of my tavern, say, okay, try this thing. I'm going to go, but I'm going to be back. And if it doesn't work, feel free to call at me or something and to get my attention to come back. But I would say, try not to get too stuck standing there while they're troubleshooting. Give them advice, give them input on what they can do, but you do have to take care of your tavern and your innkeepers as well. You can't really spend half an hour with someone because their laptop won't connect, and that is something I found happens. They don't find the tavern. I can't understand why. They're connected to the Wi-Fi, but the one thing I have found is they just shut the whole thing down and fully update their laptop, and if they go in and out the client a few times, it usually pops up. But I've had cases where it didn't before. And it's really sad, but you have to kind of, what I do then is if I do have some swag, I'll give them a little piece and I'll just say, look, I'm really sorry this didn't work out for you. I'd love for you to come back next time. And just here's this for your trouble, because I really don't want someone leaving with a sour taste in their mouth because they made the effort to come out and be a part of it. And it's just really sad if they leave because something that really isn't their fault, if their laptop just after everything, after all the troubleshooting, they can't connect. But yeah, I would definitely say, you know, do what you can, but don't feel like you need to stand there with them the whole time, because that's not really going to do anyone any good. And if you do that, the person can get a bit more impatient with it, because it's even though you might not be meaning it, if you're standing there, it's like you're waiting, whereas really you're just trying to help them. So give them advice, leave them be to try and resolve it, but make sure you stop back in. That's what I would say.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. So let's move on to our third topic. And this is issue resolution resources. So, Aliri, you were actually just kind of talking a little bit about issue resolution. So why don't you tell us a little more about this area?
Sure. So there will be problems out of your knowledge base, especially if you're not necessarily technically inclined to have a very firm concept of routers and Wi-Fi and how it's all supposed to play with each other. And as innkeepers, it is still our responsibility to fix these issues. So we need to use the resources we have available to us to get the issues resolved. Now, one thing you can do is to try and gather as much objective information as possible. And one of the things I have found, honestly, is I have lent a lot on fellow innkeepers. So like you guys were discussing in the Discord today, like you learn from what everyone else around you is sharing. So Avantes, I'm going to ask you this because of your, what should we call it? The Boston, you got to be careful now because there's another big thing that happened in Boston. But, you know, so that was honestly a really big deal about that happening. So, you know, I'd love to hear about the steps and the processes you went through to try and identify what those issues were, and then how you, you know, used resources to come to a resolution.
Yeah, so really ours was, we arrived at the venue Sunday morning, ready for day two of the HCT playoffs, and we had no internet. So we went through all the regular, So we went through all the regular steps: reboot the modem, reboot the router. You know, we actually had run a switch off of the router the day before to allow players on laptops to hardline in, and so we checked all of that, made sure it was all working as, or supposed to be working as intended. We narrowed the issue down to the modem. At that point, we have to get on the phone with the internet service provider. And of course, that means the venue owner has to get on the phone with the internet service provider because it's their account. And so we're pretty much just kind of standing by. Is there anything we can do? What do you need us to do? How can I help? You know, and while he's on the phone with the service provider, troubleshooting from their end. Once you've exhausted those routes, at that point, especially with an HCT, you have to, you know, be in constant communication with Blizzard as well as, you know, letting their esports team know what's going on. And at the same time, we're in communications with their venue search people, trying to find an alternate venue, hoping that's a last resort that we don't have to go to. So it's a lot of precarious balancing of conversations, really. And, you know, a lot of times you can resolve most of the issues just by talking to the internet service provider. Just so happened that in our case in Boston, the modem was irreparably shot. There was nothing they could do from their side except come out and replace all the hardware, which they couldn't do that day. So we had to go to that extreme option, and we got in touch with Blizzard. Blizzard does, you know, what they can to try to help mitigate issues. We actually had a member of Blizzard's IT team in our chat talking with us at all times, so they knew what was going on. They were offering suggestions. And then when it all went to pot, they found us another venue. We had to pack everything up, transport it all, transport our players. We still had two players in the top eight that day, so we had to transport them to the new venue and get it all back up and running in the other venue as fast as possible while taking care of our patrons that were there for the walk-in tournament. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, and as I said earlier, you've got to be able to adjust on the fly. That's probably the most important thing I can tell you. But that's pretty much how we handled the Boston situation.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that really is a worst case scenario, especially on that kind of level for something. So, you know, I'm glad that someone with your experience was able to be there and kind of help lead the way, so to speak. Root, how about you? What kind of, you know, resources have you found the most, I guess, valuable to you when you're in a dire situation like that?
First and foremost is friends. So I lean heavily on the Innkeeper Discord server. If I'm in a situation, I check there first. So this past weekend on Saturday, Fireside Gatherings was unstable at best. And there for a while we were fine, but there for a while we weren't fine. And I would post into the Innkeeper Discord like, hey, this is what's going on. And I don't want to say it was refreshing or good to see that other people were having the same problems, exact same problems, but it did relieve a lot of stress because then you go, hey guys, it's not us. It, you know, this really is a Blizzard thing. And I hate giving that as an example because it's a reason, because it sounds like a cop out. But when you tell your patrons, hey, it's a Blizzard thing, there's nothing we can do about it, it sounds like a cop out. But when you can show them, which I did, it's like, look, there are innkeepers all over the world in this Discord having this exact same problem. It's not us. So Facebook group was good for it. The Discord to me just is a better medium. There's a lot less hype that's happening in the Discord server, and I'm very anti-hype. We were so lucky that our dear friend Amy Jansen was at our meetup this Saturday. So she was in town visiting. She now works for Blizzard on the Fireside Gathering team. And she came out to our Fireside Gathering, and so she was able to be in her little whatever chat system that Blizzard uses and was able to report directly, boots on the ground, what's happening at a Fireside Gathering directly back to them. So that was nice. We kept her incognito. We didn't let anybody know that she was there or who she was or doing anything. But we're watching her just feverishly typing on her phone back to Blizzard, letting them know what's going on. Keeping in contact with your community manager is always good. Jesse does a tremendous job for us in North America, responding to issues and keeping us in the loop as what's going on as best he can. I know we struggled a little bit with their hands being tied, it seems, this past weekend, but we were able to get some information from him, at least knowing that it was an issue they were working on and, you know, that there's some progress being done. So Discord, friends, direct chat with people that you have, the resources that you have. And I have in my show notes, and I'll bring up the point, I just don't like it when people come up and go, hey, so this guy on Reddit says what you should do is, it's like, you know, I'm not going to do that. Number one, the first thing that they're thinking, at least in my experience, is that there's an issue with the local Wi-Fi, and you should go ahead and reboot that. We're not having local issues with Wi-Fi at the events that I handle, so that's never going to be the issue for us right now. When you have direct communication from other innkeepers and other reliable sources telling you they're experiencing the same issues, you again know it's not a local problem with the Fireside Gathering, that it is a much larger problem. So you're able to discount any kind of, you know, witch hunt or needle in a haystack type scenario, because you have all available information and you can present that information to valuable resources in Discord and in direct chat. So that is my biggest thing. Phone calls. I didn't call anybody this weekend, but I have before, where I was running into a situation. I've called a fellow innkeeper and said, hey, I'm facing this. What did you do? Because I think you had this before. They go, yep, had that issue. Here's what we did to solve it. You do that, you get it solved, you're back on the board. The same kind of issue is you can submit a ticket to Blizzard. Do you have 24 hours to wait for that the answer to come back in for your fireside? Don't know. I'm not a fan of that, so I prefer my direct communications. And, you know, getting a hold of people in the Discord is the number one way to go.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, it was one of the cooler, and kind of like we say, it's a bit like, it's cool how it worked, but obviously not cool that it was such a problem as globally as it seemed to be. But, you know, I had an event that day, woke up. First thing I do is I check the Discord server, and I noticed that there were a couple of innkeepers from Europe that were like, help, like, Firesides, the tavern system isn't working, like, we don't know what to do, and they're new members. And I was like, whoa. I was like, that's kind of weird that two innkeepers in two very different locations in Europe, and I'm so sorry, guys, I can't remember your names or exactly where you are. But I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. But even getting that kind of a heads up, like, this network of innkeepers, like, that is a support in itself, because, you know, they're going to be trying things hours before you even get to your event, and hopefully you can learn from what they've been troubleshooting and finding work as well. And so Jasper, you know, you've had major events with multiple venues. I'd say that's your specialty at this point. You know, have you ever run into issues, and have you ever leaned on specific resources for problems that have arisen with large-scale events or even the smaller ones?
So far, I think you covered basically everything. I'm a computer scientist myself, so I feel pretty comfortable when I work with computers and all the networks that are around us. And so for me, it's also mostly reading what people have as issue, read their solutions, make up my own mind, and then work from that point. That worked so far pretty well for us. Luckily also, most technical issues are either connected to really, really big events like the HCT. There were some network problems that I fixed by getting employed by the venue owner. So first HCT was horrible. Second one, I had it fixed. So that's also a way to resolve our problems, just get hired. And for our cross nations and all of that, we were pretty lucky. And also maybe just all innkeepers that we had in our tournaments were so amazing that they resolved all problems ourselves. So to my knowledge, we did not run in any kind of major problem, disconnects, power outages, Hearthstone server crashes at any of our bigger events. So yeah, I'm mostly also relying on the Hearthstone innkeeper server and reading what people are doing.
Cool. See, there aren't always problems. Sometimes you can pull off a really big event and Hearthstone works perfectly.
Absolutely.
So there is it is a question in our Twitch chat, and that's to say, you know, what is a community manager? So we would have mentioned this previously, and for those of you who don't know, Blizzard community manager is basically the person who is helping manage all of the innkeepers of a specific region. So for North America, it is Jesse. For South America, it's Diego. And I believe there is another fellow there who...
Carlos.
And mm-hmm. He's
online specifically... right now on the Discord server.
Yeah. Yes, there we go.
I was going to go to that list and sound smart, man. I was waiting for her to struggle. Why'd you do that?
Oh, I don't have the list up. I'm just remembering. Oh, we have... we have Nico for
Nico.
Europe.
Yep.
And we also, we have, see, now I've got to look at the Discord server because we have it's Shinya from Japan is also in the Discord server. And so this is an unofficial Blizzard Discord server. So if you were to message these fellows, you know, don't necessarily, you know, it's not a, what would the term be? It's not like an official communication channel to contact Blizzard and the community managers, but they are there for, you know, hopefully to help you should you have help. But there are more official channels to go through to get assistance from them. And, you know, they're just there as the the in-between of the Fireside team and the other people working at Blizzard on Hearthstone to really manage the information that the community receives, to help get that information out, and just to support us. So if you are someone who has received a support pack or can receive a support pack, you know, it's your community manager that is helping handle those requests. They do all of that community outreach stuff. Now, of course, it's not a one-man show. I know that they all receive help from other members of the Hearthstone teams in their regions for Hearthstone, but there is just that one person, the community manager, who can be your go-to for information. So definitely reach out to them if you can, if you just want to establish a one-on-one rapport with them. From what I've seen, they're pretty friendly. They're pretty friendly guys. Yeah, but again, the Discord isn't an official communication channel for Blizzard, so if they don't respond to you there, don't get too upset. There are just more official channels for that, and of course you can imagine as a community member, sorry, community manager for so many people, you know, sometimes you would rather want to stick to the official channels for ease of process. So it's, that's what that is.
Especially with recent explode of files or gatherings, the tension yes. there, they just don't have the time to write anything there, I think.
Yeah, so that's your community manager. Yeah. So I think just to kind of end on this topic of issue resolution resources, say that 10 times quick. the one thing as well that I don't know if we quite touched on is, you know, always get screenshots and gather as much data as possible. I know we talked about being objective, but screenshots, always screenshots, you know, it's always going to help, especially if you want to send in the information to Blizzard to hopefully resolve future issues. And live from chat, apparently there's a fun fact that 68,000 Fireside gatherings have been created since NEMZ went live. Why isn't everybody in the Discord server? Where are all the minekeepers at? Honestly, though, we've had so many people join. It's insane. One day we had 50 plus new members.
I need to.
And that was from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Crazy. Sorry, I was talking over you there, Jasper. No? Okay.
I just asked for these 68K price gatherings. Where is the source on that? We just said don't trust Reddit and don't trust the Reddit chat.
I want to believe it, though.
It is very possible, and it shows.
I feel like I've reported 68,000.
Yeah, I mean, it gives us a grasp of what the community manager team is up to right now, having to manage all of these.
Yeah.
It's reasonable to assume that there may be some of these fake FSGs slipped through
mm-hmm.
that yeah. we have seen oh. popping up recently.
Yeah, that is. That's a lot. That's a lot of taverns popping up.
All right. So basically all that leaves is making sure that you report. You want to report back everything back to Blizzard. Did it work? Did it not work? Do you still need help? How do you go from there? So, all right. That brings us to listener feedback and questions. So our first question tonight comes from JB. It says, do you guys keep additional power cables on hand for different types of phones?
I do, and especially when people leave them at my fireside.
So you just collect them.
I collect them. Well, I'll put a post and I'll say, hey, someone left a charger, but definitely over the years. And I don't know where they are now. I think they kind of aren't where I thought they were because I've moved a lot. But yeah, I ended up with a few, and I would take them because some people do come without them. I haven't gone out and bought them. I did just go out and buy power bars and my own extension cables. But for different ones, like, yeah, if you can, I think that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, we keep a couple different ones. I've got a couple of different little USBs that have the, I call them squids. They have multiple cable connections on the end of them for multiple types of phones, different USBs or Thunderbolt ones for the different iPhones. Those are kind of cool. We actually had somebody leave a key fob, an old, you know, with key fob with the ID on it at our last event. A little different than leaving a charger. But yeah, we keep those around for sure.
Okay.
We don't actually have chargers for ourselves. And actually, nobody ever forgot his smartphone charger at the event of us, I think. Wow. We only, I had some laptop power supplies, but those were then emailed. They were mailed back to the people who owned it. But no, we only put normal power supplies on the table and remind everybody in the Facebook event and the email prior to the event, everyone that they need to get the power cable with them. And yes, so far, that worked out pretty good.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, we don't provide them, so we try to remind everybody to bring their own. All right, our second question is from Roger. He says, game would not load this weekend. We rebooted, did everything. It would look like it was launching and then would just go away. What do you do in that case?
I did not understand too much because Larry was typing.
Sorry. Yeah. People don't need help in the Discord server.
So the question again was, the game would not load. We rebooted, did everything. It would look like it was launching and then would just go away. What would you do in that case?
So even the game was not starting.
Yeah, sounds like the client would crash as it was trying to load.
Well, that's basically the most horrible thing that can happen. First of all, I would talk to the person, ask, okay, has that ever happened to you before? Because if that happens, that is bound to the machine that's doing it. That's nothing that's bound to your FireStack gathering. So most likely that bug in some kind or some form has been there before, or has become came to existence in the hours before the event. So I tried to track it down with basically finding out what the person has done recently. If it's not possible to do that way, I think it's not possible to do that in a normal FireStack gathering setting. Myself, then I really need time to take that computer and check what's going on there, and basically just first of all reinstalling Hearthstone, because that will maybe fix the problem.
So, yeah, for sure. That's what I would do too. Turn your phone on and off, and then if not, reinstall the app. Yeah.
So I think an issue that I have with the question is, yes, we want to help, but we'll help with a limited degree of game support. But when it comes to an issue of a client not loading, there's a couple things you could try, but we're not there for your computer technical support. We're there for a little bit of helping in the game support. Like if it's Windows, even though I hate the solution, but sometimes it can work. If you right click and run it as administrator, that might fix the issue. But again, there's a distinction in helping you get the game going and fixing all your computer problems.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so our next question, and I'm going if Root's not dying. Our next question is from Anti-Botanist. So, Yoder, Anti-Botanist asks, how many people is too many people on a Wi-Fi?
There is no such thing as too many people on the Wi-Fi, because one person can cause as much problem as 1,000 persons. The Wi-Fi is, okay, of course, every client has a small amount of data that it sends all the time to say the access point, that it's still there, to get its IP address and all that. But most traffic is the actual traffic from doing stuff on the internet as users. So at my FireStack gatherings, if one guy watches Twitch, he is as horrible as 50 other people just playing Hearthstone. And for a normal Wi-Fi, let's say you just take one Unifi router here. Here's it with normal light. You can see it's four shapes. I think this one can handle like 200, 300 people. So for the normal FireStack gathering setting, we are absolutely fine with normal stuff. And even I can now take out my normal, what I use for our internet. Even these normal stupid These normal stupid TP-Link routers, which like cost, I think, $20 or something, even they can handle a large amount of people.
Okay. Is this just one you made earlier, or is this like did you make this for demonstration purposes, or is this
that's actually the thing that I carry to every FISA gathering.
Like, were you like, and here's how it looks?
That is awesome.
That's the stuff I always use. I've built that, I think, 3 or 4 months ago, because I was just tired of putting all the cables together. So
I need to bow down to your preparedness.
I just had a crazy vision of him like walking on a bus with that tucked underneath his arm and like, just going to the fireside, guys. Don't mind me.
I have done this actually, I think, once.
Oh no.
So I have a gateway, a switch, and this is basically the backup router, and here's the power supply for the UniFi thing. So I just put this big board in the server room of any venue and just use a switch in the venue to just plug this in. So that's what the users see, and the rest is my backend.
Awesome.
Wow. That's amazing. Really cool.
So, point is, take care that the router is good, because the DHCP and all that takes some computation power. That will be the thing that breaks down first. For the Wi-Fi, basically, these TP-Link stuffs here for some 20 euro will be most sufficient for every normal FISA gathering, but...
Okay.
Computation and power for the ones that actually do work. That's something that you need.
Awesome. All right. And our last question from Katie Cat is, can you run a fireside gathering on a Wi-Fi hotspot? And I can successfully say, yes, you can. I know this because when we had no internet on Sunday in Boston, I set up my phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Another patron had a pocket Wi-Fi hotspot that he turned on, and we connected all the players to my device and his device and ran an event. Now, it's not overly fast, and you will have disconnects, but it is possible. I have done it. Not out of wanting to find out if I could do it, but because... I wanted to make sure to provide the best possible experience for my players. And I didn't want them to all show up and be like, sorry guys, no internet, we can't do anything. So, there you go. All right. Well, this episode we talked about your pre-event checklist, your on-site troubleshooting, and issue resolution resources. Coming up next week, we're going to have another great show for you with a lot of new ideas to talk about. Yoder, if people want to find you online, maybe follow you to get some more great ideas, like a giant routing board, where can they find you?
Everywhere, basically. Just look out for Barcraft HL or for this tech here for Yoder, I think. There is not really another Yoder on the internet. So
okay.
That should be me all the time.
Awesome. All right. Aliri, where can people find you?
You can find me on most social media at A-L-E-I-R-R-I, especially Twitter and, of course, the Innkeeper Discord. How about you, Root?
I can be found online on the Twitters at HearthcastRoot. I also do a... Blizzard podcast called Hearthcast, and we just hit number 365 on that one. That's a lot of fun. And of course, just like Illyria and everybody else here, I can be found on the Innkeeper Discord.
Congratulations on 365. That's awesome.
It won a day if you really wanted to. If you were that, you know. So what about you, Avantis? What about you, Avantis? Where can people find you on the internet?
On the Twitters at AvantisHS, or each week you can find me on Wednesday nights at 7:30 Eastern right here on twitch.tv/ECMMOGamers doing Hero Power, a Hearthstone podcast where we talk about the news and the community, and we even show you a deck each week that you might run into on the ladder. So... don't forget to, if you're looking for resources to help with your fireside gathering, you can find those at hsinkeepers.com. You can also visit the official Blizzard site, which is resources www.firesidegatherings.com. And as we close the show this week, we want to thank everybody who joined us in chat and those of you listening at home. And we will see you all again next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Innkeepers Podcast. For all sorts of Hearthstone community-related goodness, check out hsinnkeepers.com. Ah, come on now. Are you just roping me along? Swing hammer.
I knew we'd get that one in.
I was waiting. Like, please.